you've seen the writing, the achievements, some of the achievements of preaching. Now you see the hand or the personality who has manifested all of this. So thank you very much, Maharaj, that you are right from the international flight from India, taking the time to be with this wonderful devotees of the Pandava Sena, who's a normal person would eat and sleep at this time. But you are here to give your guidance and inspiration. I think we very much be moved by your kindness to our trip here. Thank you very much. It is not formal, it is speaking from the heart. Hare Krishna. Yes, my dear devotees, a very important and also intense time has come to an end. We are now concluding the Pandava Sena trip 2017 to the United States of America, where we have visited three important temples of Srila Prabhupada, and where we have also drawn inspiration and motivation from visiting the tree yesterday where everything started, that oldest member of the Hare Krishna movement, that tree in the Tompkins Square Park. Most probably also the most tolerant member of the Hare Krishna movement. So we have drawn inspiration from this journey. I believe that it went very fast for many of us, and the many impressions which we have gotten from the seminars of Ghanesyam Priya Prabhu, Gogopal Prabhu, the nice visionary leadership seminars of Naveen Krishna Prabhu, where he showed what can be a future for all of you in Krishna consciousness by participating in the different programs of Pandava Sena, which go on until you fall into your grave. It is such a wonderful vision. It takes some time to digest all of this. It takes some time to go through the impressions which you had during this journey. But I think to every one of us something very precious was being given. And in my little session today, I hope to help you to take whatever inspiration, whatever new insight, whatever gift you have obtained, I want to help you to take that with you to London and into your life in London. That is the idea of this short seminar. Let us start by offering obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Please join me.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Ascharyadesha Tharine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adeta Gadadha Shri Vasani Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna
Speak this evening about the power of a sankalpa. A sankalpa is more than a promise or more than a declaration of intent. A sankalpa is something which is empowered by the Lord. When one makes a sankalpa or gives, describes or declares what one wishes to do in the future, one has to do two things to make it more than just an intention. One has to go deep into his heart to see what really matters, what one really wants to offer. And the second is, one has to pray for the strength to the Lord to, if he so desires, fulfill that sacred wish. Let me talk about these two conditions first to you, because in a little time I will request you to go deep into your heart and pray to Krishna so that for strength, so that you can fulfill your own sankalpa, your sacred wish, by His mercy. First of all, you must know that there are so many desires all the time in our mind. You want maybe an ice cream, or we want, like in my case, that the AC is switched off because it makes us sick, and we wonder how the Americans can have a civilization with AC. We have the desire for maybe a new shirt, or some of you might like to have a new hairstyle, you're young. There's so many superficial desires. Desires which also come and go. When we make a sankalpa, we do not want to connect with these whimsical desires which are so much under the control of Maya often. No. And when we want to make a sacred wish, then we are wanting to really ask for that which is behind all those whimsical desires. We want to go deep to that place in the heart where really our real desires are. I was once in Russia in the winter time, and I still remember that all of Russia was covered by a layer of snow. It was 4 meters deep. We had to dig through the snow to get to our sabjis, our vegetables, and cook them. Everything was covered by snow, except for one well. It was a well which was blessed with holy water. And, it was there in the snow and ice. And it was said, if you go and throw a coin in this well and then utter a wish, your wish will be fulfilled. They have a lot of these wells in Russia. So because I was going next day to interreligious dialogue, I thought, why don't I do this interreligious thing? I throw the little coin, the smallest coin which I have, into the bell, and then I pray to the Lord that He fulfills a wish. I thought, let me do. small coin and watch how it would go down in serpentines. Go like this, left, then right, and go deeper and deeper until it settled on the bottom. And then I thought, no, this goes deep here. And I thought, let me learn from this smell that what we throw into there goes through different layers of depth. And I began to understand that the same as with the human heart, this is a bell. There are different layers. But you need to see that you go deep and deep and in a inquisitive, almost analytical movement and come to what is deepest. And I asked for it for something, and it was fulfilled. It is too private to say here what it was, but something I needed very much at that time. But the idea which I want to say is, go deep, my dear devotees. I shared with Gopal, I think the Americans all went high in the wrong direction. They went up in the skyscrapers, which is a manifestation of national pride. They should instead go in the other direction, down, deep down inside. Where we come to that spiritual essence which is there within us, where we come to the realization we are actually a part of Krishna. And let me ask now from that position the Lord for the things which matter: love, determination and service. To know him a little bit more and serve him better. You know, these desires should be accessed. The deeper things, not the superficial things. The second point in making a second wish is you need to ask the Lord to fulfill it if he so desires. The principle between making a sankalpa is expressed in one of the Upanishads. It says, Kata Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam Chetanat Chetananam Eko Bhavuna Yogyatahitana. It means, amongst all those who are Nitya, eternal, there's one supreme eternal. Amongst all those who are full of consciousness, there's one supreme conscious being. And what does he do? Well, since time immemorial, he is engaged in fulfilling the desires of the many living beings. It is Krishna who brought us here to New York. It is Krishna who has helped you to meet the Pandavasenas in the first place. It is Krishna who was always with you before birth, during birth, after birth. And it is Krishna alone who's with you at the moment when you leave this body and go to your next destination. Krishna is most intimate to you. He's more intimate than your breath. And Krishna is most influential in your life, because only by his permission does everything work. By his permission, the planets spin around. By his permission, the wind blows. By his permission, you have come to Pandavasenas and into Krishna consciousness. He has given the guidance. He is the supreme eternal amongst all of us, other eternals. He is the supreme conscious who knows everything, what goes on That is a question. So, I will soon ask the talented photographer to be satisfied with this harvest of photos, because we will go now a little deeper. If you are able, my dear devotees, to go deep to your deepest desire and ask the Lord to be with you and guide you and empower you in your desire, then something will happen which is absolutely amazing. The incredible potency of the Lord. It's called Agatana Gatana Shakti, which can make the impossible possible, will become activated in your life. To become an enlightened, a pure soul, very much connected with the Lord, is almost a mission impossible if we have to do it on our own. But even the impossible things can become possible by the strength of the Lord. My dear devotees, how do you explain that one personality who came from India made a worldwide movement which is very active all over the world, and his influence, this is what I wanted to say, is still activating and pushing and moving everything. How can you explain this? How can you explain Srila Prabhupada's achievements without understanding this is mission impossible fully in action? I think we all know this little story where Srila Prabhupada in the beginning stages of his movement was going with a subway from one part of New York to the other, just to become familiar with the American culture. One morning he took a morning walk in Central Park and sat down on a bench. Next to him sat another man and asked him innocently, "Are you from India?" Prabhupada said, "Yeah." "What are you doing here in America?" "Well, I am spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." "Uh-huh. And have you done something already?" "Yes, we have temples, we have farms, we have books," said Srila Prabhupada. And he was living at that time with a young man and shared his one room in his apartment. "How very interested. Can I see your temples? Can I read your books? Can I visit your farms?" Prabhupada said, "Not yet. Some time is separating." Later, the same man came and met a devotee who invited him into one of the temples, and there this man saw a display of some of Srila Prabhupada's achievement. He saw farms, books, temples all over the world. How do you explain that? That was when a pure devotee wishes something to Krishna is fulfilling and makes the impossible very easily possible. So also when you connect with something which is pure, something which is deep, something which is in connection with Srila Prabhupada's mission, and then by the power of Lord Krishna, it can be done. It can be made possible. It is something which is working 100%. My dear devotees, life is like a journey, and there will be nice and easy parts of our life, but there will also be challenges. And when the challenges will maybe come to you as soon as you step out of the airplane and land your old life, which has most probably followed you on your little monsters called the mobile telephones, even to America, your old life. They knock at the door and they come, do this. And you are in danger of losing something precious if you do not have support, if you are not protected with a sacred sankalpa, which has been heard by the Lord and which is then fulfilled by the Lord. I always like to give an analogy with which I want to give pleasure to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj about life's journey. Both of us like Vrindavan very much. Radhanath Maharaj, I think, discovered it much, much earlier than me, and has been visiting much more. When I visited Vrindavan, I decided to join this, I think 40 days circumambulating Braj Mandala. And I remember it was only my second time in India, and so we went with the devotees barefoot on this journey. The first evening I had to take my bath in a little pond with slimy green water. And I thought, oh no, what deep-seated diseases are lurking in this pond? Then on the second day, I saw blisters this big on my feet, and I thought, oh no, if I continue this for 40 days, I may have no feet left, and you have no legs left. Then I remember I had to wash my clothes, but there was only this natural well water available, and then I poured out my dhoti, it was all brown. And I thought, how will I have clean cloth? This was the first 5 days I was struggling with my European conditioning, and there are physical difficulties I cannot describe to you. And then there are also mental challenges. I remember once I offered my obeisances to Giriraj Govardhan, and I was led in deep obeisances, praying for humble service, and all of a sudden a rain of peanuts came over me. Many peanuts. And the next thing I knew was monkeys jumping on me, fighting with each other for the peanuts. And, you know, monkeys don't wash themselves under the armpits and at the bottoms. It was smelling very aggressively. And so I remember I was praying for it humbly, for devotional service, wanted to become a humble servant and all of this. So I went up out of my obeisances and I looked into the face of a happy Indian man who had just thrown peanuts in my direction. And he smiled at me and said, "Monkey Seva." I thought he meant me, but then I understood he was feeding the monkeys of Govardhan, who had seen their chance to pick up the peanuts which were falling all over me, because he meant, and sometimes they are not so conscious, and they have not seen that there is a man with a delicate mind taking this place. So I remember I just went up and I thought, this is too much. I will throw an atom bomb, but this is man's direction. And then you pray for humble service, you better stick to your words. And I calmed down my passion. Hare Krishna. Life life is like this. It will give physical difficulties and also mental challenges. That is to be expected. At that time, my dear devotees, if you have a sacred sankalpa, a sacred wish, and you will get the strength to navigate yourself through the blisters of life and the tests which life throws at you. 100%. In making a sacred wish, and with this I come to the end, there are two principles. You need to first focus deeply, and then you also need to let go. You need to focus in order to find what is your sankalpa. You need to go deep, like going deep into a Russian bell. You need to go deep in the heart, find what really matters, what is important in your spiritual life now, and then pray, And then you also need to let go, because Krishna knows best when to fulfill your desire, how to fulfill your desire, or to fulfill the desire which is behind the desire, which you have not really seen at that moment. In other words, focus, do your best here, and then let go in the faith that Krishna will do exactly what is good for you at this sacred moment. In a minute, I will guide you into an exercise to find your sacred desire. I will need this for Krishna. I need a pair of cartons also, and someone who is looking and not meditating will be find a place with Danga. Who's it? Yes, please take the Madanga Prabhu. We are serving the devotees. Please be an eye contact with me. Before we start finding and going deeper into our hearts, I would like to just summarize the experience. I'm very grateful to those of you who have organized this journey. I'm most grateful to those with whom I had the association to interact, to learn also from Naveen, Krishna Prabhu, Chandramouli Maharaj was actually there, Chandramouli Maharaj, Naveen, our Gopal, our Ganesha Priya. It was very nice, and my heart at this moment is full of gratitude. By my quote, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, gratitude is a condition of the heart from where spiritual growth is possible. I request you also to go a little bit through this journey and contact gratitude in your heart. How nice that we could come here. How nice that we could pass immigration. This is what I say always, because I once was born from America, now I'm no longer. How nice, how grateful we can be that we were in Gita Nagari and we saw the Samadhi of Bhakti Chaitra Maharaj, and we were able to dance so joyfully and chant so joyfully. How grateful we can be to be there in New Vrindavan, visit that American holy place. We even saw Radha Kund and Syama Kund, Kusum Sarova, Radha Vrindavan Chanta, the old festival. Remember these moving sessions we had in the yoga shala. Some of you even were emotionally very touched. Then how we came to New Jersey and New York and everything in such a short time. And somehow we were not always on time, but we made it in time, whatever we needed to do or wanted to do. It was a wonderful journey. It was a blessed journey. It was, let me say, a journey where many gifts were given to each one of us. Let us be grateful for the gifts we received, and let us now go and try to connect with how we can respond, what is our sacred wish, how we can go and find how we would like to conduct our lives with Krishna and with Srila Prabhupada in London. I request you all to sit a little tall, not that you fall asleep like some Pandavat singers are expert in doing. Inhale deeply and exhale.
Thank you. I'm not going to provides the basis of actual surrender is Mahajanogena Gadasa Bhanka, to follow in the footsteps of great souls. Because through their words, through their prayers, through their lives, and especially how they deal with difficult situations, is the light that illuminates our understanding of what surrender actually means. Because the human tendency is we want surrender to be on our terms. We want challenges to be the type of challenges that I like. But then it's not a challenge. The great souls, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, Ramayana, and as Satyananda Maharaj was describing Srila Prabhupada's own pastimes of giving us Krishna consciousness, it was impossible situations. Little Prabhupada Maharaj, he taught us what surrender was. Gajendra, he taught us surrender. He was the king of the elephants. He was the king of the whole heavenly forest. But when he was in the jaws of that crocodile, if that crocodile attacked him on the land, Gajendra could have just crushed his head. And sometimes Gajendra would pull him on the land, but he couldn't crush his head with his foot because his foot was in the crocodile's mouth. It was dragged back. And that's actually how Maya works. She knows exactly where we're vulnerable. And in due course of time, she's going to attack us right in our place. Gajendra realized that he was completely dependent upon God's grace. He was dependent on Krishna. He had no means of protecting himself. And then he didn't even ask Krishna to protect him. He just gave his life to Krishna. Krishna, I'm yours. You can do anything you want. He remembered from his previous birth when he was a great king named Indrajuna. And somehow or other, due to mistakes he may have made, due to his free will, he forgot. He didn't cover over. When he was in this helpless situation, somehow or other he remembered. And that's our situation. Jiva Swarupam Krishna Das, our nature is that we are eternally Krishna's servants. We're part and parcel of Krishna. As Maharaj was saying, so many things are impossible. And I am so Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Samadhi. We're part of Krishna. We're Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Nitya Siddha Krishna, Prema. Love for Krishna is inherent within us. How could we forget Krishna? Krishna's all attractive. Why would the eternal soul, who's Brahma, who's full of spiritual light, who's full of spiritual happiness, is eternal? Why would we be so attached to this bodily conception? Why have we forgotten our relationship with God and Krishna? And sometimes we act in such ways that are so contradictory and foreign to who we are. That's impossible.
why would a blissful person want to identify with something that's destined for misery? Why would a deathless person be so attached to what is going to die at any minute? It's quite impossible. And then when we're in the grips of the crocodile of Maya, it's impossible to get out. Everything about existence is about impossibilities. How we came here, why we stay here, and how to get out. All the problems that are facing humanity, and the biggest brains of the greatest science and technology and mathematicians and politicians and people with so much strength and militaries and physical prowess, can't stop old age, disease, and death. Can't stop the problems. Miracles, all our militaries and all of our universities. If a hurricane comes, what do we do? We just tell everyone to run away. We can't stop it. India, with all of its software engineers, when the flood comes, if everyone just stays home, because you can't do anything. So why are we in this situation? Material energy is so powerful. Ayatyakshina prakriti suni desashyakshina. This mind is Krishna's energy. Srila Prabhupada explained that Maya is all-powerful. There's no possibility of the Jivatma coming out from the coverings of Maya by our own strength. It's only when we take shelter of Krishna. So what Bhagavatam tells that this material illusion is like a vast, limitless ocean. But when we take shelter of Krishna, the water becomes the quantity of what is in the feet of the small. To depend on Krishna, it takes a humble heart. Two of the very important qualities of surrender is to feel complete dependence on the mercy of Krishna. The sunshine, the air, the water, the earth, our own bodies to digest, the power of digestion, the power to see, the power to smell, to hear. No human created from it. Not even the demigods were created. How can we get Krishna's energy? So if we're actually depending on Krishna, a characteristic is we can't take any personal credit for things. Because when we take personal credit for our achievements, what it is it's giving, it's just Maya perpetuating our own illusion. And we're thinking it's something very great. So we need to come in on Krishna. And we have to give Krishna credit. And a Vaishnava understands that to give Krishna credit means to give Krishna credit to those who Krishna's blessing us with through their associations. to give the credit to the Vaishnavas, to give credit to our gurus. Krishna will accept that we're giving the credit to him when we give credit through the medium of those who he loves. That's the prasada bhava. I'm looking at this beautiful painting that Godbrother Murli Dar Prabhu painted. I remember many years ago I was traveling and doing outreach programs, and maybe a couple days a month I would return to Vrindavan, and I would sit for hours and hours, sometimes almost all day, in front of the canvas as Murli Dar was painting. Just watching how that beautiful manifestation of the Prabhupada said the window of the spiritual world, it began with just a blank piece of canvas. And I'd see him mixing his paints, oil paints, brushes and sticks, and stuff. And when he'd start, just like a child, it just looked like little colors and little shapes. Naturally, it manifests as the Brahma Vimoha Leela. In order to Yena Dhamma Prabhadyate Thams Tathaya Bhakanya, Krishna reveals himself according to how he surrenders. Krishna reveals himself to his devotees, to the holy land of Vrindavan, to the holy names according to how he surrenders. So Brahma created this, he's the secondary creator of the whole universe. Back to this little earth planet, in a tract of land called Vrindavan, in the district of Mathura, which today we call Uttar Pradesh, India, part of this world. Brahma creates, and he sees everywhere. He has eyes where he can see all directions at all times. So he's seeing Vrindavan, but he's seeing it from his exalted position. Every living being in the universe is the great grandfather of. And he's born directly from Vishnu. Can you imagine having a birth like that? He just opened his eyes one day and he was both, through a womb and all that stuff. He didn't come out crying. He just opened his eyes and he had a lotus flower that's coming from the Padmanabha, from Lord Narayan. And he performed his tapasya, he did his meditation, and he was given the power to reveal Tene Brahma Hridaya Agatavye, to reveal the Vedas to the world. Not only given the instructions by Vishnu how to create the universe, but what its purpose is. And how to teach humanity how to become liberated. And he lives 311 trillion years. And he doesn't appear to get old. Amazing personality. And even Hiranyakashipu is asking him for benedictions. And Ravana is asking him for benedictions. And all the demigods, when the asuras are conquering them, they go to Brahma to beg, please save us. One time the earth planet was in the Karmodak Ocean, under water. And all the demigods, there was nothing they could do about it. was caused by Hiranyaksha, the dear brother of Hiranyakashipu. So what do they do? They all approach Brahma. And Brahma prayed to Vishnu, please save the earth. And a little tiny boar came out of his nose, the size of a thumb. And that little personality, the form of the boar, just went into the sky and soon became so huge. Varahadev. He dove in the ocean and lifted the whole earth planet in his tusks. That's Rama. In one sense, he was born of Vishnu, and then he kind of gave birth to Vishnu. What comes out of your mouth is... Vishnu doesn't come out. Brahma is in such an exalted position. But yet, when he was looking down in Vrindavan, he was seeing Krishna sitting on the bank of Yamuna eating prasad with his friends. And the friends are just little cardboards. At this time, they didn't even reach their Boganda age yet. And these little children are still taking their calves. Liberated Agasura. So the demigods were having a big festival and Rama came down. This Krishna is very powerful. And how is he sitting with all these little children? And they all have their prasad that their parents have packed for them. And they were really hungry because they just spent, you know, spent the morning in Agasura's mouth. So they were very hungry. After being eaten by something, you want to eat something. So they're making their plates. Everything is play, everything is fun because Krishna's in the center. Some make plates out of flowers and some leaves. Some make plates out of rocks. Some make plates out of the bark of trees. They were showing their food to each other and taking a bite. It was really good. They said, Krishna, taste this. Take it out of their mouth and take a bite out of it and share it with somebody else. And they share it. Krishna's lovely book. Which means all the demigods, the ultimate goal of their life is to make the most opulent, extraordinary offerings with the hope that Krishna will eat it. And here Krishna's eating out of the mouth of your coward boys. Brahma is very much, what is this? He's seen Vrindavan in a relatively ordinary way. So he wanted to test who is this Krishna. And we know the story. He allured the calves and he kidnapped the calves. And then Krishna saw the boys were really upset because they couldn't find the calves, and Krishna said, you go on eating, you enjoy your prasad, I will find the calves. And when Krishna said that, he was just about to eat this nice handful of yogurt, dahi, and fruit, and rice. What's in his hand?
something.
He says, I
can't find it anywhere. Goes through the valleys and the mountains and the forests and the riversides. And he comes back to the same site, and all the little boys are gone. Brahma kidnapped them, put them all asleep in a cave.
And Gopal, the cows are going to be missing their calves, and the gopis are going to miss their sons. And they all want to love me, the Swami Shoda and Nanda. This is Vrindavan. One of the special qualities of Vrindavan is there's no trace of envy. There's a particle of envy. We're not qualified to be in Vrindavan. So Nanda and Yashoda are with Krishna throughout the night. They're loving Krishna's own child. And all the elder gopas and gopis, they love Krishna more than their own children. They love Krishna more than their lives. They love Krishna more than anyone. But they don't get to do the services of Nanda and Yashoda. But they have no envy for them. They were ecstatic. They were happy. They were totally fulfilled seeing that Nanda and Yashoda had this service. But still in their hearts, they wish they could do it, but without envy. And Krishna fulfilled all their desires. For 1 year, he became the child of every cow and every elder gopa and every elder gopi. And for that whole year, they could not detect anything except their own child. How thorough is Krishna's pastimes? There were literally countless millions of calves and cowherd boys. And every one of them, Krishna spoke exactly like that. Same accent, same jokes, same fears. Every particle of their bodies were identical. As a mother who loves her child knows the child so much, every hair was identical. Clothes, features. The only difference was they love their children as much as they love Krishna. And it's ever increasing by the moment. So when Brahma came back, we saw everyone, the cow, the gopas, the calves, they're all roaming around Vrindavan and playing the same games, taking the prasad. What's happened? I stole them all. And then he went to the cave and he saw they were all sleeping. Then he went back to Vrindavan and he saw they were all playing with Krishna. Then he went to the cave and they were all sleeping. He went back to the pastures near with Krishna. He was bewildered. Is it that Krishna's when I look this direction he puts them there, when I look this direction he puts them back in the cave, and then when I go back, when I look in this direction and looking in different directions he has eyes in all directions. How is Krishna doing this? And when he couldn't possibly fathom this impossible situation, every calf and every cowherd boy manifested a form of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With four arms, holding the conch shoulder,
lotus flower and clove and the Sudarshan chakra. Beautiful complexion, like a dark green cloud, the Kasturba mind, beautiful jewelry and helmets. If that wasn't enough, Krishna just kept expanding the bewilderment. First he sees how he felt calves become Vishnu. And the next thing he sees, around each Vishnu is all the demigods. And he was seeing all the elements of material nature that he's supposed to have created in their personified forms. He saw all living beings, and they were all worshipping Vishnu. How does that all fit? In this little track of life, Krishna made everything. What Brahma can do, what's absolutely inconceivable and impossible for us to even conceive of. And in this moment, Krishna manifested this reality that Brahma just basically blanked out. He couldn't even think. He forgot who he was or anything. He would just be willing, be Mohan. And right at that moment, Krishna did something that was even more incredible than anything else. Within a moment, Brahma sees everything disappear. And Krishna's standing with his little lump of yogurt and rice and fruit. Papa says fruit salad. And he's been holding it for a year. Still hasn't eaten it. Still in his hand. It's a little childlike hand. And Krishna's looking around as if he's completely bewildered. Where's all my friends? Where's all my friends? At that moment, Brahma realized how he's completely subordinate, completely dependent upon Krishna. The example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam that a firefly at night gives light. Kind of like, you see? When I was in the association of His Holiness Bhakti Kirti Maharaj during his last couple of months at Nitinagari, I was staying at the house of dear God brother and God sister Yadunani Prabhu and Tarini Devi. And they have a home that's in a very nice countryside. They built the home themselves many years ago. And two of the original people to come to be tomorrow. And because of the lights or anything, the sky, so many stars. And at night it's so dark. There's no moon. And in the field, right near their house, one night I was coming back from Bhakti Kirti Maharaj's home, and I was sitting with Gavinam. These fireflies. It was more spectacular than 4th of July fireworks. In London, I don't know if you know what that is. They're in New York City. Macy's? Yes. Yeah. I don't know they do these 4th of July fireworks.
And quite a few spots, Macy's.
These fireflies.
all go and literally it looks like they're lighting up the sky. And I was just appreciating the miracle of nature. It was just so beautiful, so exciting. Until Yadavananda told me why they're doing it. He said, "Do you know the story behind the fireflies making those lights?" I said, "I just know it's really beautiful." He said, "Those are the males, and they're trying to attract pretty females to mate with them." He said, "Okay, that's not what sannyasis are supposed to be." Thinking about it, thinking about it. So let's go inside and turn on the light. But Srimad Bhagavatam describes at night when the firefly goes and then light, because his little tiny eyes, he can only see as far as the light is. So he's thinking he's lighting up the whole sky. Very well. Lighting up the whole sky. And then, of course, according to Yadavananda, he wants all these extra firefly units. But when the sun comes out, no matter what it does, it doesn't make any difference. The firefly realizes I am totally insignificant. So in darkness, Krishna's like sun, Mahayanakar. And you say Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. So where we're in darkness, we think we're very great. I am so learned. You know, Samadhi Dhani Bhaktivinoda Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows all the beings. He knows everything. Everyone. Forever. How much do we know? We think we're pretty. We're handsome. We're strong. And Krishna, he's lifting hope down here with love and the fear. He's impregnating the entire creation with a glance. So beautiful. He's now a yogin of God. He's now a yogin of God. He's ever beautiful. And all attractive. So whatever greatness we have, we're like little fireflies. And factually, the firefly is completely dependent on the energy of the sun, even to be able to go completely dependent on Krishna. Whatever I have is the gift of Krishna. Whatever I can get, I'm just an instrument of Krishna's grace. When he completely humbled himself with gratitude. One of the key features of this story is everyone's watching. Even 5,000 years ago, we were reading Brahma v. Mohan, how Brahma's bewildered. But Brahma was very happy because he saved the greatness of Krishna. Even Shiva, when Mohini Murti bewildered him, and he gives in front of all of his devotees, all these Babaji's and Sannyasi's, Sadhus, and he's chasing Mohini.
when he realized that this was Vishnu, he was happy. Because his happiness was not about his greatness or his fame. His happiness was about Krishna's greatness and Krishna's fame. To the degree we find happiness in Krishna's greatness, in Krishna's beauty, in Krishna's wealth, in Krishna's knowledge, in Krishna's incredible, limitless abilities, in Krishna's love, our happiness becomes just unlimited. As long as we want to be controller, proprietor, enjoyer, we can really experience when Brahma completely, with a grateful heart, humbled himself before Krishna. That was surrender. That was his surrender. Krishna, I'm yours. Then he saw Vrindavan. Not until then. Then what he saw previously as very beautiful dust, he saw as Chandani. Every particle of that dust more precious, more magnificent than all the treasures of the heavens. And he saw every tree as a cocoa Krishna tree, which it could fulfill all of its wishes. And he saw every cow as a kamadhenu, a wish-fulfilling cow. Vishwamitramuni, he is the only time the most powerful king on earth. And Vishishta had one kamadhenu cow. Saw the power of the son of cow, Vishwamitra, who was willing to fight all the war against the sage. And that little cow was here. And ultimately, he realized that everything, all his power, all his wealth, all his prestige, was insignificant compared to this path. And Rama saw that these gaps of Goloka, of Vrindavan, were limitless. Ashanka. You see, we cannot see Vrindavan with these eyes. We can only see Vrindavan through Krishna's grace. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochane. When we actually humble ourselves and surrender, Krishna reveals himself in the Holy Land. He reveals himself, and we can really learn to appreciate and respect Vaishnavas according to our surrender. And especially, we can taste Krishna with all his opulences in his holy names when we surrender. And the surrender is not some difficult concept. The simplest, most natural thing. To completely depend on Krishna. To be grateful to Krishna for the opportunity to serve in every situation, whatever it may be. If things are going really good, we're grateful to Krishna. How may I serve you? And if things are very bad, even apparently impossibly bad, really important, because all that stuff comes and goes. The most important is how can I please you, Krishna, in this situation? Surrender is to just harmonize whatever condition of life we may be in through bhakti. But Krishna, how can I please you? How can I serve you? I am yours. This is my understanding of Nitzan. It's a sangam of devotees, young devotees, who are trying to inspire this wonderful spirit, how to be grateful to Krishna in every situation, how to depend on Krishna in every situation, how to realize more and more in our lives that we're all helpless under the divine mercy of the Supreme Personality. And to celebrate and to rejoice in our being helpless servants of the Supreme Lord. And trying to do wonderful things for Krishna. Knowing that Krishna is giving us everything we have. He is what he gives us each other. Our life. So when I see this beautiful painting, then it's impossible. Have a little devotee sitting in a little farmhouse with some oils and bottle stores and canvas. How he's creating a window into the spiritual world. Because he didn't do it. Krishna did it through him. And this is my conclusion, that surrender simply means, Krishna, let me just be an instrument of your will. And that's where it's only the Satchinanda Maharaj led us in this beautiful message. I wish we had thought upon this spirit. When he was sitting on that Jaladutta in the Boston Harbor, just before touching the American soils, he was praying, Krishna, let me be your prophet. Let me dance as you wish for me to dance. I'm yours, Krishna. If you want to give these people this knowledge, then you can make me speak. And you can give them the understanding to hear. Realization and just to love Krishna and his desire to be an instrument of his grace. The reflections of his holy reception on the world. Thank you very much. So when you return to one day or wherever you're from, please take this beautiful blessings of the satsang at your times, the katas, all the places that you visited. Keep them in your hearts forever. Now let's have kirtan. Because you've been sitting so long with these dance, and even I've been sitting so long in your place. So grateful tomorrow for having Navadas and Tulsi Devi and Bhakti Sankars to stay on the return program for the session. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I was with some devotees in a remote
part of Vrindavan. Do you know where Vrindavan is?
Nandagat?
I think Nandagat is Nandagat. Yeah.
Nandagat is where Nanda Maharaj got swallowed by a snake. And it's 99% of people who go to Vrindavan never go to Nandagat. Very remote place. You couldn't even drive there in those days. You have to walk so many miles and miles and miles to reach it. And then see Yamuna. And I was there, and I was just leaving Nandagat and walking. And such a little mark like this. And it sat right next. It was so wonderful. You know what was happening? Because there was quite a few people around, so we wanted to find a secluded place where just the two of us could talk and share our realizations. We sat just on the bank of a stream of sewage. And it was because we were together and talking about Krishna, we were seeing Vrindavan so nicely. That's strange.
Yeah, I remember there was this sewage floor flowing by, and we were sitting safely. Some closeness was there, but still some safeness. And we were talking really about Krishna, really Krishna Katha, I remember. And all of a sudden, because my vision is not so transcendental as and those dudes, there are these human bridles. It means the students. Oh, on the other hand, I think we sit in the school fields. He also then notices, no problem. And we continue. Yes, the time is very beautiful.
Krishna was renewing my whole life good time. I was very happy.